Good morning. Today I want to teach on forsaking the tradition of men for the truth of God's word. Oftentimes in our culture, what we see exampled around us in many instances shows tradition, habits, the influence of either man-made religion or culture on things that we do repeatedly. But we also have to keep in mind that those traditions that we hold should be understood and weighed against the scriptures. If you will turn with me to 2 Peter, we will start there. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
So this explains to us that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And it's important for us to recognize that the bounds of time that we have in our minds are not by any means a limit that God has. It doesn't say that one day is 1,000 years. It says that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So God is very long-suffering or patient with us. He wants all men and women to come into repentance and also to come to the truth of what's written in Scripture. That being said, we should uphold a standard of truth and a desire to live according to the simplicity of the word, right? And in anything that we do. So let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. So the relevance of going into God's word and seeing what it teaches us for the simplicity that it teaches us, and to be willing to set aside some of the traditions that we may hold, that is important so that we can be obedient first and foremost to God's word, and that we allow it to be dynamic in our lives. Very often religion or denominations will corrode, or I would just say, like, they will make it more difficult than necessary to just understand the simplicity of Scripture. And we just want to be able to go to the Word and see what it tells us very clearly, right? Acts 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. It says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Okay, so here, like, the scriptures speak about times of ignorance, right? But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And we know that, of course, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our risen Lord and Savior and receiving the new birth is repentance, right? But we should also strive to understand the promises that God has made available to us, understand what's written to us in the church epistles, And so our lifestyle and our culture look differently when we pattern them after scripture, as opposed to culture or as opposed to traditions. That means that as we align our thoughts and our behaviors with God's word, our values will begin to change. What motivates us changes. How we conduct ourselves changes. The decisions that we make changes. The priorities that we have in our lives change. Who we align ourselves with, or the things that we support, or the things that we co-sign change. And even matters such as what was commonplace in our families, in our communities, in our governments, in the organizations that we grew up with, all must be held in view through the lens of scripture. So when we talk about traditions, there are some traditions that are just absolutely fine. You know, there are certain family traditions that we have that are totally fine. There are certain things that we tend to continue to do in our lives that if the word doesn't speak on it, they're completely fine to hold on to. But there may be others that get caught in the filter. And if so, God's word speaks on them or teaches us that we don't need to hold on to that tradition, then they must get rinsed and dumped. So in our Christian lives, you know, we cannot like relive the past. The past has already happened. But we can live each day as a new day with God, right? And so as we go to the Word and we continue to learn and apply what we've learned in God's Word to our lives, we are responsible for what we have learned. An important individual to understand and look at in light of tradition, right, is Paul. And Paul, of course, as you know, he was raised in the Jewish religion, and he was very zealous for the things of the law. And he actually lived in the change of three spiritual administrations, the administration of law, of Christ, and of grace. So if Paul was able to let go of his strongly held beliefs and his traditions in the Jewish religion, then he exampled things that could be recorded so that all believers could learn. And one thing that, you know, I think is important for us to remember is that, you know, it's great and important that we've all had exposure to what we've had exposure to, and great teachers that have presented the word to us, made it known to us. But the one thing that is common among all believers that we must all be responsible for is to follow the instruction given to us in scripture, in God's word. So it's important for us to differentiate between, you know, the individuals that we read about in God's written word that everybody in the world has access to and can study, you know, perhaps regarding the knowledge of the mystery or forgiveness, right? And what is modeled and demonstrated for us is all already in scripture. So, as far as God is concerned, everything, you know, in his point of view is already done. God is so much higher than our ability to understand that he refers to the future as the past tense. Let's take a look a little bit at a record in Matthew chapter 15. So every person, you know, has to spend individual time in the scriptures to educate themselves. And some practical things that we can ask ourselves are, okay, well, what did Paul model for the believer? What did Jesus Christ model for the believer, right? And the important thing that we have to understand is that God is not accountable for what, you know, you or I write, He is accountable for what he wrote, and we should also hold ourselves accountable to what the Bible teaches us. In Matthew 15, verse 5, it says, "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." So it's very simple, and we read throughout the Gospels how Jesus Christ was very pointed towards calling out the impact of their tradition and how it stagnated the commandment of God. Right here we read about this. And this is a very important thing for us to understand, that tradition, if it convolutes the simplicity of God's word, can actually make the commandments of God of none effect. And if God's word can heal us, if it's sent to deliver us, if what God has set up and has given us power with across all of these administrations that's superior to our incentives or our desires, that there is something that can cause that to be of none effect, then it's important for us to find out, well, what is the cause of that, and to make sure that it's not something that we have anything to do with, right? Something that we don't support or entertain. When we begin to pattern our lifestyles after Scripture, we will be able to dismantle our traditions, and our lives start to look and function differently from any traditions or any man-made lifestyles, habit patterns, carnal ways of thinking, even things that we were taught to do, but that don't go back to Scripture, that, you know, have to be held in light of what God's word says, very simply. And so when we look at the examples of the Pharisees in the Gospels, they curated their own culture. However, God looks at the heart. And whether you have a curated culture or not, ultimately, you know, God just wants men and women who believe his word with its simplicity and its truth. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So this is Paul speaking here. And in verse 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." So Paul, before his conversion, Saul, persecuted Christians with ignorance in unbelief. And one would think that as the man that he was, with the respect that he had, you know, that he knew full well what he was doing, incarcerating new Christians, persecuting the church. But he was very zealous for the wrong things. He was very zealous to persecute the new growing church. And zeal is an emotion, and we cannot let our emotions do our thinking. We have to align our thinking with Scripture. So because he previously had a zeal for being of the Jewish religion, just like him, we too can be zealous for certain things, right? I mean, sometimes I speak to friends of various different denominations, and they're more focused on the rituals and the traditions, but less on scripture or the simplicity of even just prayer, you know, prayer with sincerity. And just because we have zeal for something and passion for something, and maybe we're excited about what we're doing, it doesn't mean that what we're doing is actually right with God. So that's where we as individuals and believers need to be careful about making spiritual decisions just because we are emotionally passionate about something. It could be something that, you know, was passed down to us from different generations. But we also have to ask ourselves, are the traditions or the habits or the thought patterns that I go to in alignment and in accordance with God's revealed word? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 2, Hebrews 4, 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And so the only thing here that this verse says that the word needs to be mixed with is faith, right? We have to believe the word. We have to believe that it is true. It doesn't say mixed with traditions, right? So when we mix traditions with God's word, what suffers in that mixture is not the traditions, but the potency and the power and the impact of God's word. And this is important, right? We have to understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So as we go to God's word, not only do we read it, do we allow it to correct our thinking, but we have to believe and have faith in what it teaches us. And that will change all of the traditions that may have been passed down to us and allow us to see the simplicity and the truth of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2.2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Right? So we certainly don't want to corrupt the word of God. We don't want to embellish the word of God with additional things, but we don't want to change it. We want to maintain the word of God, and we want to keep it with integrity, with sincerity. God has already measured out the potency and the power and the impact of his word. And he certainly doesn't want it mixed with anything else other than the individuals believing, very, very simply put. I think oftentimes, because we live in a world that is full of distractions, right, and we have to fight our old man, we limit the believing that we place on God's word in any given situation that we encounter. But we really have no idea what even just a little bit of believing can do when we take it to God's word, right? Like, there's a part of scripture that says, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Move," and it shall be moved. So if a person is slow to believe and apply God's word in their lives, why wouldn't they be zealous to do God's work? You know, if it's taking somebody a long time to accept the simple truths in Scripture, could it be maybe because they've grown up with and have instilled in them a lot of tradition? Could it be that they are used to using traditions as a means of reaching God and not haven't built in their lives the habit of reading God's word or having a prayer life with God? You know, these are real questions, and I think that as we see different ways that tradition impacts people around us, we can see how that impacts them. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Let's start in verse 7. Jesus Christ is giving instructions on an example prayer. Okay, so he starts saying, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." He continues with the prayer. We all know this prayer, right? Verse 15, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we know that this specific passage in Scripture, 2,000 years later, right, that example that Jesus Christ gave of how to pray has become a tradition. And actually, some of the details of this prayer are no longer applicable to our current administration. So this was apropos in the administration of Christ, right? But we can't fast forward what was taught in the previous administration into ours, or expect to have results from repeating man's instructions outside of Scripture. Yet, Jesus Christ taught very clearly before he said this, not to use vain repetitions. So, this is just one place where we want to understand the scriptures for what they teach us and remember that God looks at the heart. If you will turn with me to Mark 7. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. So by the time that Jesus Christ was in his earthly life and ministry, the Pharisees, you know, had developed a good set of traditions of their own. And we're going to take a look at one example in particular where something that seems to us may seem insignificant was very important to them. In Mark chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the scriptures?"
No.
"According to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands." Verse 6. Okay, so we're seeing, you know, this relevance, this importance being placed on the tradition of the elders. Verse 6. "He," Jesus Christ, "he answered and said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So very interesting that we see how even at this time the Pharisees held on to very closely a belief that you had to wash your hands in a very special and particular way according to the tradition of the elders. And Jesus Christ says, you know, you honor God with your lips, but your heart is far from God. So we have to understand that this tendency to create traditions and to instill them into other people, to pressure them into other people, it was not something new. This isn't something that came to be as a recent development in human history. You know, this has been a long time pattern that we all have to keep our eyes open, you know, to. We all have to understand what that does. And, you know, we would think that washing hands in a special way is a very menial thing. However, the Pharisees wanted the Jews to hold on to these pieces of tradition. So why would Jesus Christ target these seemingly small things, right? The reason is that they were man-held traditions, which were wrong doctrines to begin with. And so we start looking at the Pharisees' hyper-focus on the washing of hands. And what we end up with in this short record is that God calls on the human heart and desires for us to adhere to his word. It's very simple, you know. So it's things like the tradition of men that will put us in a position or on a path that strays us from going into God's word or seeing what God's word has to say on a particular matter. And whether it was the Pharisees being zealous of the washing of hands, or, you know, not performing miracles on the Sabbath, or Paul and the things that he was zealous for before his conversion, all of these different things are the things that made them blind to actually seeing and recognizing that Jesus Christ himself was the Messiah. In fact, they wouldn't admit that Jesus Christ is Messiah because of their blindness and their traditions. And a little bit of traditions over a long period of time can take people down roads that they didn't even know that they were walking on. So I'm not saying that traditions are more powerful than God's word. However, they are so prevalent around us that we have to understand and be vigilant about our knowledge of God's word. We should be aware about our sonship rights. We should be aware of what the church epistles say about us. If we aren't, right, we will continue to practice things that people do in cultural atmospheres, in maybe religious atmospheres that we grew up with that have no biblical basis, things that we knew that were habits in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our upbringing, and we won't be able to take those traditions back to scripture and understand where that influence is undermining our thinking and our believing of the word. So, you know, you don't have to go looking far to find tradition around you, or you don't have to go criticizing people for the things that they're doing that may be a tradition, but introspectively, we can look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are there traditions that I hold on to in my life that I've been taught, and perhaps that I've been teaching to other people? If so, how can I correct my thinking or align myself, modify myself to believe God's word over this tradition so that I do not become ignorant in unbelief?